This is Tough Cookies,
a cookie review podcast
with Cameron and Zach.
Welcome to Tough Cookies, everybody, for our Halloween Spooktacular.
We're doing a Halloween Spooktacular in September?
Well, I am Zachula, as you know, this is my name. And I was informed that Zach's girlfriend's apartment is already decorated for Halloween. So it is appropriate that I come out of my coffin and haunt the podcast.
Okay, so let me get this straight, Zachula. Count Zachula.
Yeah.
Can I call you Zachula?
My friends call me Zach, but yes, I would feel more comfortable if you called me Zachula.
Can I call you Count?
No.
Okay, Zachula.
Count is my father.
Okay, Zachula. Here's the thing that I just got to get straight real quick.
Yes?
I have a podcast with my roommate, and there's some force in the universe that when his girlfriend decorates her apartment for Halloween, a vampire comes out of his coffin and haunts the podcast?
Yes, well, we do our spooktacular episode, don't we?
Okay, yeah, I guess we're doing a spooktacular episode. If you get to be Count Zachula, who do I get to be?
We haven't nailed down a character for you in 3 years.
I'll be Jeffrey Dahmer. Ooh.
The spookiest. He comes out every September 7th.
You know? Every September 7th, Jeffrey Dahmer leaves his...
his hut.
No, he is a hut.
To haunt the podcast.
It has an extremely tasteful thatched roof.
The question, of course, is it appropriately early to decorate for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm so ready for fall. Me, Jeffrey Dahmer. This is my Jeffrey Dahmer voice.
Nailed it.
A lot of people think that I just have some sort of illness or something. No, it's just because it's me, Jeffrey Dahmer.
You sound just like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, and you know, Jeffrey Dahmer loves being spooky, and so I love getting all the, you know, get out your bones and stuff.
Yes.
ASAP.
They're making a new movie called Jeff, and it's all about Jeffrey Dahmer.
I don't know a movie Jeff. They didn't have my permission. I'm going to see.
It's with a G.
Oh, Jeff with a G? Yeah, that's a different Jeff. I've actually met at the Jeff convention.
Yes, of course.
He's kind of a jerk.
What a segue! Hold on, it's too
segue.
I came out of my coffin too early. Let me go back. Let me go back in my coffin. Let me get Zach out of the coffin, and I can go back in the coffin, and he can come back on the show.
Yeah, I'll ask Zach what he thinks about decorating for Halloween on September 7th.
Creak! Zachary, you can come out of the coffin. Okay, I'll come out of the coffin, and I'll get back in the... Please wait till I'm done getting out of the coffin. Okay, fine. Okay, now I get back in the coffin, I close it up. Can you lock the deadbolt for me on the coffin?
Yeah, I'll lock the deadbolt. Click! Hey, Cameron, I'm back from the coffin I was in.
You were really upset about what is essentially just like a roomy wooden box that you got to take a nap in.
No, you don't know. Zachula is 6 inches wide and 4.5 feet tall. He was vampirized as a child, so his coffin is that of a child.
Are children usually 6.5 inches wide and 4 feet tall?
He's a flat Stanley.
Yeah, he got flat Stanley, but he was sleeping on his side.
Yeah,
it's really rough.
So he's like one of those fish, but he's like an ocean sunfish, but he's a vampire and a boy.
That is scary.
Yeah, he's real spooky.
So what are your thoughts on, I don't know, I guess I'll explain the whole thing for you because you weren't here.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, Count Zachula haunts the podcast and we do a spooky special.
Oh, and he came out because I did it too early and now spooky. No, I'm caught.
Yeah, he said it was too early. Well, because Maddie decorated her apartment for Halloween and I wanted to get your take on that.
I think, and let this be known, mm-hmm. I think it's great that she decorated early. And whatever Count Zachula said is not my opinion. So if she listens to this, that I want her to know that I think it's awesome that she decorated early.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, I'll speak straight from the heart. I love a Halloween, and I think anyone should decorate for Halloween as early as possible. Now, if we had any Halloween decorations other than an 18-inch tall Christmas tree, then I might suggest that we decorate for Halloween. But that's
we have a pumpkin guy,
Gregory's effigy is always out.
Yeah, but I guess he's a memorial to a Halloween pumpkin.
Yeah, yeah. Man, imagine people listening to this podcast who don't know us, and you were like, yeah, we've got a pumpkin guy. And I was like, no, you idiot. That's Gregory's memorial.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, we don't have to tell that story. But we do have a pumpkin in our apartment all year long, but he's a memorial to a Halloween pumpkin, but it's a year-long memorial.
Yeah, I gotta say, you're coming off real high and mighty going on about people decorating apartments too early when you have a pumpkin in your apartment 24/7.
It's a year long. It's not a Halloween decoration. It's a memorial of a Halloween decoration.
It's a memorial of a past friend. Yes.
When Santa Claus died, they didn't take down the statue. They leave the statue up all year long.
No, I think when Santa dies, we should build him a statue, and we only put it up on, like, you know, the day after Thanksgiving. Then you got to take it down by what's the date you got to take your stuff down by? Like January 5th.
For some reason, I also was thinking January 5th. I don't know why.
Must be January 5th, baby.
It's got to be January 5th.
I think that was a lie. I think the January 5th thing was a lie so that parents could make their kids do it before they went back to school.
See, I think that's the same thing as, like, you have to eat your Halloween candy before Thanksgiving or else you have to throw it all away.
Hey, that's not a rule that I've ever heard of. I think you were just swindled out of candy.
No, I would. This isn't either.
And your parents were always like, oh, Zach, it's Thanksgiving. You've got to throw your candy away, but don't worry. We'll do it.
No, this is not something I lived by, but it's something I've heard from other people that this is a thing.
That they have to eat their candy by. Well, listen, I think that probably stemmed from a rule of, like, the parents were like, ha ha ha, we'll get our kids to throw away their candy so we have to keep buying desserts or whatever. But instead, I would think that would just mean that, like, the 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, I'd be like, yeah, man, gotta have 8 pieces of candy for dessert, you know,
every day
through this. Every day.
I don't think that pans out well.
You know, this is a podcast about a lot of things, but the thing it's most importantly a podcast about is CIA technologies in the Cold War.
Okay.
And I think you'll agree. Welcome, everyone, to episode 2 of what I'm calling Cold War Hot Topics, which started off as a fun fact and has now turned into, I guess, its own little segment instead of the fun fact that you guys were also excited about. But it's also educational, so I think it counts.
Oh, yeah, this is the portion of the episode where you don't laugh, you learn.
Yeah, this is the portion of the episode that was designated the beginning of the episode, and that's why this episode, it's right at the beginning. Nothing happened before it. This is the beginning of the episode.
This is the beginning. Here we are at the beginning.
Here we are, and okay, I'm going to hit record now. Okay, welcome to Tough Cookies.
Hey guys,
hey,
welcome
guys
to Tough Cookies.
Welcome to Tough
Cookies. Cameron, do you want me to get Zachula back out?
No, that's fine. That was for my other podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. And listen, if you're listening to this and you're so confused because you don't know who Zachula is, listen to my other podcast. It's called The Daily by the New York Times. So this is a segment where I get to tell you about exciting CIA gadgets and goofs that they did during the Cold War. Are you ready to learn?
I'm ready to. Boy, I'm ready to learn. Do you have, like, a cool Schoolhouse Rock song about this one?
Nope, I've got knowledge. But it's not like we're. You only have to make a Schoolhouse Rock song about learning that sucks, like math and stuff. This is just like a fun thing. Ugh. Yeah, conjunctions and junctions. This is a fun one.
All right, hit me.
Last episode, I gave you the option of dots or dead rats, and for some reason, you picked dots.
I love dots.
You love dots. So today, we're going to do dead rats. So here's the thing about the Cold War, and when you're a spy, is sometimes the spy people who aren't being spies but are the spy people, you know, like if you're a spy person in charge of the spies, you know,
Yeah.
They need to like get you some Slim Jims or something because you're hungry in the field, right? And they were like,
wait, did you just say sometimes when you're not a spy, but the employee of a spy agency, you get hungry, so you have to eat?
Well, listen, your spy managers have to give you stuff like maybe Slim Jims or a passport so you can be a spy, but usually mostly Slim Jims.
Yeah.
And so they needed ways to give their spies these Slim Jims. And what they found out was you could literally just like put it in trash and then leave it on like a street corner and then give a coded message to your spy to be like, hey, on this day at this time, roll up to this street corner and there will be like a glove on the ground. And in that glove will be like Slim Jims and a passport and like a, you know, a secret message that's like kill the president.
That doesn't seem very high-tech and cool.
It doesn't seem very high-tech and cool, but they found, like, it's, you know, keep it simple, stupid. People aren't going to pick up stupid stuff. And so they were like, yeah, we'll just throw it in a glove or whatever. But then they were like, hold on, let's use our noggins. What's something that no one would ever pick up? You're right. They got dead rats, embalmed them, hollowed them out, made little pouches in their tummies, and then would put Slim Jims in the dead rats and leave them around. And so the spies would go and pick up dead rats and take out their Slim Jims.
I don't like Slim Jims nearly enough to do that.
Well, the idea was that no one in their right mind would, like, if someone finds like a glove on the ground, that might be like, oh, well, let's pick it up and take it into, you know, this store and maybe someone will come looking for it. But then, you know, all the Slim Jims, they'd open it up and be like, oh, my, it's a Slim Jims and a piece of paper that says kill the president. Ugh.
So do you think this led to a massive like Russian misunderstanding of dead rat anatomy?
Yeah, they were like, oh my God, we got so many dead rats here in Russia.
Yeah, what's they were like
poisoning all the rats,
and they're just full. It's got to be the Jims.
It's got to be the Slim Jims. They're just so full of Slim Jims. No, but it does. It does occur to me that, like, on one hand, yeah, I don't think anyone on their right mind would pick up a dead rat. But also, what if, like, what happens when someone sees like the one guy, the one American who like rolls up and he picks up the dead rat and he's like, "Yeah, I'll take this home. This is mine."
The one, I want to see the scene in Russian Spy Movie 2 where the world's most specific Russian pervert waltzes up to the CIA, like, twirling his pencil-thin mustache, like,
I've got some information that you might want to know. Or do you think they did it as a joke? Because I kind of think the CIA might have done it as a joke, and they'd be like, hey, go pick up that dead rat, you idiot.
Pick up that dead rat and eat the insects.
Yeah, go in the subway. There's a dead rat with your mission in it. And the spy's like, what, when, and where? And where in the subway? And they're like, check all of them. Find a dead rat.
Check all the dead rats.
Check them all, idiot. But you
won't. It's got to be in one of them. We marked it with a big necklace that says, secret spy rat.
We put the dead rat in a glove and left it on the street corner.
We gave the dead rat four little tiny rat gloves and then killed it and filled it with secrets.
We gave a rat four tiny little rat gloves, waited for it to lose one, and then we put the Slim Jim in that rat glove and left it on a street corner.
I think this is a interesting tactic by the CIA, and surely they were in a room like building the secret spy message transportation device, and some guy like really goofed it up real good, and the principal was checking in on him the next day, and they were like, what do we have, a Slim Jim and a dead rat, all right, this is it.
Yeah, no, this is definitely like they came in on like, you know, Thursday morning, and the CIA guy was like, hey, do you figure out how to get the spies their Slim Jims? Because that's due, like, this afternoon. And the guy who was in charge with it, who, like, was playing Fortnite the whole time, was like, oh, God, rats.
Do you think that maybe they were, like, last, they were like, this message has to go to James Bond right now, and there's no, the only way is this rat, and we don't think it's going to work, but it's our only chance. And it worked, like, super well. So they were like, well.
Yeah, and they were just like, oh, whoa, that, I mean, all right.
No more helicopters, I guess, just dead rats.
If the rat fits, you know?
If the rat fits, eat it. you know where we were this weekend, Cameron?
Where were we this weekend? Tell me, I forgot.
You and I, for many years prior, ventured to the great city of Atlanta, Georgia, to go to mm-hmm. what some refer to as Dragon Con.
Dragon Convention, yeah.
One of the biggest comic cons in the country, happens on Labor Day weekend once a year.
Yeah.
It's we haven't gone in many years, but this year we decided to go, the two of us and our mutual girlfriends, yep. wait, not our mutual girlfriends, our independent girlfriends, but we all mutually went. And had a great time. No complaints. No bad things happened.
I have some complaints.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got two major complaints. There's two big ones. Yeah, two big ones stood out to me. I don't know. Maybe you didn't notice. Which is weird because you were there. The first complaint I have to say is when we wanted to get dinner on Sunday night and we went to... Well, I guess this story really starts with the guy on the train airdropping me videos and pictures of his hog. But we'll just go past that real quick.
That's Atlanta, baby.
Yeah, that was a big old plus. Not a bad part.
that's just Atlanta, baby. That's how it happens in the great city, in the great peach.
Yeah, the great peach city. That's hey, they call it the peach city for a reason.
In the big peach.
Yeah. So after that, we decided, let's go grab some Denny, the four of us. And we were like, all right, there's a cool little pub over here in Decatur. So we rolled up to the pub. And of course, when we rolled up, the kitchen was closing in 5 minutes. So we decided to leave. And about when we got in the car, it started raining, which is no big deal. Except
yeah, we're in a car. No problem. We have a roof over our head.
Yeah, we had a roof over our head and someone behind the wheel who doesn't need glasses. Except I lied. There was someone behind the wheel who needs glasses. It was me.
Yeah.
And we were driving away from this cutesy little pub and I hopped a curb and destroyed my tire. Wah, wah.
Yep, popped the tire. Now, no big deal. It's only 10 o'clock in Decatur, Georgia. So we're fine. Everything's open.
Yeah, so we roll into a Kroger. Changed the tire real quick in the rain using our big muscles and our big car guy energy.
Oh, yeah. We got big car guy energy.
Big car guy energy. It was easy. Then we got back in the car. We're like, all right, dinner time. The pub was a bust, but there's an Applebee's down the road. No problem.
Let's hit up Applebee's.
Roll up to the old Applebee's. Guess what? Only the bar's open and there's two seats for our party of four. Wah, wah.
Not enough bees for all four of us, huh?
And I know, yeah, not enough bees for all four of us. And I know if you're listening to this podcast, you're like, I don't care. This doesn't affect me. Well, you idiots, there is a sign out front that said Cheetos wings. And now you don't get to hear about the Cheetos wings because we didn't eat them.
We didn't get to have the Cheetos wings and there's no way to have them now.
Exactly. Then... we got back in the car after the Applebee's bust and we're like, no problemo. There's a Waffle House down the street. Who doesn't love a waffler? So we rolled up.
24 hours. Known for that, I would say.
Known for that. Known to be always open, welcoming all races, colors, and creeds. We roll up to the Waffle House. Guess what? There's a window up front. Only takeout. Wah, wah. It's raining. Okay. Wah, wah.
We'll just go inside and wait, Cameron. Just pick up our food and not sit down and wait for our food inside the Waffle House.
Nope. Sorry. Door's locked. No fun allowed.
Oh, you're right. They had a drive-through window at the Waffle House for walking up to for getting your order.
They had two drive-through windows.
And it was raining.
And it was the lady's birthday.
And it was the waitress's birthday. So kind of happy birthday to her, I guess.
Happy birthday to her. Less happy for me.
Happy general day for you.
Yeah, the vibes were off, and then they were only made better by the four-hour wait, during which the next day, while we waited for the tire to be replaced on my vehicle at the one tire store that's open on Labor Day.
But Cameron, the good news is the Waffle House next to that tire shop, which is like right next to the house we were staying in, was open 24 hours, so we could have gone there.
Yeah, and the double good news is that we decided to go on a fun little adventure while we waited on the tire to get fixed, and then it rained on us, and then we were like, wow, what a train wreck this last like 3 hours has been. I know what'll make it better. Let's watch the like 2016 Ghostbusters in this Pep Boys.
I mean, it was on Freevee, which is a correct estimation of value for that film.
For that flick.
But the good news is this is not a Ghostbusters watch.
Yeah, the good news is this is not a Ghostbusters watch, even though we could definitely do one. And the even better news is the tire situation wasn't the worst thing to come out of the weekend.
But Cameron, you got stuck in Decatur in the rain and was hungry and tired and awful, and you had to wait, and we got delayed on the way home, and I didn't get to go grocery shopping, and I had to eat granola bars for lunch. What possibly could be worse than that?
Well, see, that's the thing about what you said is that
I already know.
Yeah,
I'm just playing a part.
I know you know. I'm just listen. We were both there.
Hey, I'm looking you in the eyes. I know what you're gonna say. I'm looking, you're right here across from me. I know what you're about to say, so just say it.
You're breathing my oxygen. That's how much you are aware. Well, you'll remember that night with the Waffle House, I was not hungry at all.
Not at all. You weren't hungry. You must have just been full of food. You must have been.
And you'll remember the next morning after we got the tire, we had a brief discussion with the girls about how, God, staying in that moldy basement all weekend really just gives us the sniffles and the scratchy throatsies, huh?
Yeah, that basement does it to you.
Yeah, but you know what else gives you a scratchy throat and the sniffles that I learned at 11:45 last night?
What could that be?
The novel coronavirus.
Not the novel coronavirus.
They got me again with the novel coronavirus.
The fans have spoken. They said, bring back the heat from several months ago. We need that cool topic to come back around on Tough Cookies.
We really needed to be reminded about that cool time in our lives. And, you know, this is just, I'm really excited because anyone who listens to this episode definitely 10 minutes ago heard us say, yeah, we went to a convention in Atlanta over the weekend. And I know that fully 2/3 of the people listening, their first thought was like, idiots, you're going to get the novel coronavirus. And you know what? I would just like to say you were right. I did.
So there you go. We're ahead of you on that one, audience.
So, and I know what you're thinking. Ha ha ha, Cameron. I bet you've learned your lesson now. You'll never go to another 60,000 person event on the very tail end of a pandemic. And to that, I have to say, you're wrong. I got to work from home on the day that the new iPhones were announced and Tottenham played their first match in the Champions League. So it was actually really good.
Nice. We love to hear it.
We love to hear it. And so this is where I'd like to just say, officially, the Tough Cookie stance, and I speak for both of us, both professionally and personally about this.
I don't think so.
Pro-coronavirus.
No, I don't think so. I would like to post-maturely apologize.
We would like it to keep going forever.
No, I don't agree with that. I think it's a bad thing. Last night, though, you did give me a ring at midnight. O'clock, right on the dime of right on the witching hour.
Well, you were asleep, and I thought to myself, Zach's pretty doesn't check his phone kind of guy, and so I better give him a ring and wake him up, just in case he wakes up and is like, I'll check my text on my planning period.
Well, hey, I don't fault you for calling me. I'm actually glad you did, because I was like, I know what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron said there's a at-home tester on the table downstairs. I'll walk downstairs and just give it to myself and get that knocked right out of the way.
Yeah.
And then I fell asleep in my bed because it was midnight.
Yeah.
So I woke up at 5 a.m. and thought to myself, well, I could do it when I prepare to go to work. But if I learn that I won't be at work on my way to work,
yep.
I'm a teacher, so that doesn't fly.
Yep.
So I better find out now at 5 a.m. if I have the coronavirus. That way, if I do, I can call the school 3 hours, 4 hours before school starts, and they can make arrangements and not 20 minutes before school starts.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I go downstairs to get this at-home test, which, you know, right on the old table, sitting right there. Just kidding. There's no at-home test anywhere to be found downstairs. But
it was in the same spot they've always been.
Where was it?
It's in the laundry room, in the basket place.
Oh, I assumed you'd just leave it on the counter.
No, I didn't want to leave it on the counter because that'd be, you know, too convenient.
Too convenient, easy to find. Well, I did not check the laundry room, but I did check the CVS pharmacy.
Oh my God, did you go to CVS at 5 a.m.?
I did go to CVS at 5 a.m.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, well, I have to know. I have to find out before I go to work.
Yeah.
So I drive to the CVS pharmacy, which is 24 hours. I get two at-home tests. I drop one off at Maddie's. I come back here. I take it. I am negatory, which is awesome. Now I can go to work and stuff.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So I'm like, sweet. And I got a cool, checks the clock, 14 minutes before my alarm goes off. So, the moral of the story is I've tested twice as negative. Maddie's tested once as negative. You have tested positive. So we are recording in separate rooms using the power of the internet.
The power of FaceTime and the red box that you gave me in exchange for a Panic at the Disco record many months ago for a situation just like this.
Exactly. I knew this would happen when I traded you that record for that red box.
And I gotta say, and this is just, you know, this is my review of coronavirus, a retrospective, some might say.
Well, a current perspective, yeah.
Well, you know, we had our first review, and I would say you and I were not overtly positive. Well, we were positive, but our reviews were not positive.
Yeah, I didn't care for it a whole lot.
I gotta say, round two is a breeze.
That's good.
I've got some sniffies, and that's it. And so I think I speak for both of us when I say the coronavirus is no big deal, and everyone should just stop worrying about it.
I don't agree with that, actually. So I actually think it is a big deal, and everyone should worry about it. But that's how the cookie crumbles here on Tough Cookies sometimes.
We should start saying that more.
That's how the cookie crumbles on Tough Cookies sometimes?
Yeah.
I think that's a cool slogan. That's how the cookie crumbles on Tough Cookies sometimes.
On our trip. Smooth segue, yeah.
On our trip, I was trying to decide which conversation to have. On our trip, you posed a question to the car, and I neglected to answer.
And
that question was, what is the best food?
Yeah, there is what is the best food, and there. What, did you answer the sandwich question?
I did answer the sandwich question. It was a good question.
Okay.
If you ordered a sandwich that was named after you, what sandwich would it be? Good question. Not for the show.
Yeah, not for the show. Do the food one, because I don't think I answered that one either. And this is a good food, you know, internet
talk, a food show.
Talk topic. Yeah, it's a food show.
Well, before I do the climax of the story, I need to give you some background. So okay. You and I, several years ago, agreed potatoes were the best food because they were useful in so many ways and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other day, Jordan asked me what my favorite food was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know, I guess potatoes. And he was like, so you'd rather eat potatoes than anything else? And I was like, well, no. And he was like, well, then what's the best food? And so I've been sitting on this for a long time, and I think I've come to kind of a conclusion, but I love the conversation.
So when I proposed this question, I still stand by, I think potatoes are one of the best, like, ingredients, you know? I think a potato mm-hmm. is so versatile. When I say best food, I'm thinking like a dish, you know?
So several years ago, we agreed that potatoes were the best food because they were so versatile mm-hmm. and found in so many good dishes, mm-hmm. which makes sense.
Yeah.
But what is the job of a food if not to taste good?
I think that's true. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, and also to like provide you with caloric energy and stuff. But that's like a distant second to tasting good.
Yeah. So I would say there are foods I would rather eat than potatoes.
Yeah, I think I agree.
So would the best food just be the food that tastes the best?
Oh, like even, you know, like maybe it's something we don't even know yet. Like maybe it's like a Cambodian shark that tastes incredible.
Well, no, I'm saying that the answer to your favorite food and the best food would be the same because the purpose of food is to taste good.
Oh, now this is an interesting philosophy that you've created.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
And I'll answer it to support my disagreement. See, my favorite food, I think, when I think like a meal, a dish, something like that, like a dinner, like my favorite, you know, sit down, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever, meal, I'm going to go with probably a medium steak. I'm not picky which kind, probably either a sirloin or a ribeye. I'll say ribeye. Mashed potatoes and asparagus. I think that's my favorite food in terms of like a dish. But I personally, myself, think the best is the sandwich.
Ooh.
Why is it the best, you say? Well, because you can put pretty much anything between two slices of carb and it's a delicious, you know, anyone can get a sandwich they like. Plus, as you and I have discussed, the sandwich is such a broad thing.
That's true, but I also think that's kind of cheating. That's like saying the best car is truck, you know? Like, that's kind of cheating.
Mm. I will say that you are correct enough that I will amend my answer to sandwich. It's got to have, like, bread and stuff, not, like, a hot dog.
Not a hot dog.
Because everyone knows hot dogs don't have bread.
Exactly. I think for me now, as I am today, and we'll probably have this discussion in 10 years when we've changed our minds, but for me now today, the best food, the question of what is the best food is answered in a simple way, which is which one food does food's job the best. And to me right now, a food's job is to taste good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so whatever food I think tastes the best of all foods, it is my favorite food. And I think sandwich is a strong one, but I think there are bad sandwiches and good sandwiches. But I think the food I've chosen, there's neutral and there's good, but there's no bad.
Mm, and what is that?
Pizza.
Ooh, pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
You think like school cafeteria pizza, even that's not bad. Like, it's not good, but it's not bad. I'd rather have that
than like a tuna sandwich, yeah.
Oh, I love a tuna sandwich.
Well, I'd rather have that than whatever sandwich you do, like a Crystal Burger for you.
Oh, yeah, easily. I would rather have a poop sandwich than a Crystal Burger.
Well, there you go. Like, there's no pizza worse than the worst sandwich, and there are many pizzas better than the best sandwich.
Yeah, I think you might seriously be onto something. And pizza kind of also has the sandwich thing of, like, what do you like? You can put almost anything on it. Pizza's so broad. I mean, you can get yourself, like, you know, when I went to that pizza place downtown and had all I could eat different varieties of pizza, there were so many types.
And but if someone says, I'm going to get you a slice of pizza, there's no way I'm coming out of that deal on the bad end of it.
Yeah, there's no way that, like, unless they're like, oh, yeah, this is my cauliflower crust, spinach, and water pizza because I'm a crazy person.
I mean, a cauliflower crust spinach pizza is still, like, a good thing. Like, it's still yummy.
As I was saying it, I was like, that also kind of sounds like it would hit right now.
Yeah, like, there's no... I think pizza's the best food right now.
And I think the most important part of this conversation is you and I can both agree that because of the things that you've said, we can finally say that CeCe's is better than Crystal. You said it, not me.
I don't think I can say that. Because here's the thing. CeCe's has strayed so far from pizza that it's a sin. What's a sin to God?
What's in a pizza? By any other name, it tastes just as sweet.
Cheese.
And macaroni.
Okay, but there are several things at CeCe's that don't... several pizzas at CeCe's that contain zero cheese. Number one, the apple cobbler pizza. Number two, the Oreo pizza. Number three, the cookie pizza. Like, none of these have cheese on them.
But it's all delicious. You can't argue it's not delicious. Listen, and I would also argue, you ready for this hot take?
I can't argue it's not delicious, yeah.
You ready for this hot take? I don't think a pizza needs cheese.
I think a pizza needs cheese unless you're like, I'm lactose intolerant and I need to get lactose-free cheese. I think pizza requires crust, sauce, cheese. Like, that is pizza requirement. In the same way that a sandwich requires two pieces of bread, pizza requires crust, sauce, cheese.
I'm sure that I've had a pizza that's like bread and olive oil and like pieces of garlic. Oh God, that sounds so good right now. I'm so hungry.
But I would argue that that is just garlic bread,
which is delicious. Listen, you take garlic bread and you dip it in marinara sauce, you pretty much got yourself a pizza.
And at that point, if you got cheesy garlic bread with sauce, you got yourself pizza, and it's the best. I mean, pizza's awesome.
Hey, is like cheesy bread that you dip in marinara sauce just deconstructed pizza?
That's tough for me. Because Maddie will often order every now and then, the Little Caesars half a pizza and half a like cheesy breadstick, and we'll get marinara and she'll dip it in the thing, and I'll be like, why did I pay an extra $6 for you to just make pizza?
Yeah, for you to just make a bad cheese pizza
out of the pizza, like, instead of just getting pizza.
It's like you go to Little Caesars and they're like $5 hot and ready, and you're like, no, actually, I would like a sad Lunchable. Could you give me a sad Lunchable? And I'd like to pay $8 instead of $5. And they're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, can I just have a bag of shredded cheese and a thing of cold marinara and an uncooked bread, and I'll take it home and you can charge me $13? That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. Oh, I'd kill for some pizza right now.
But I think that if to her the cheese stick dipped in marinara is a better pizza than the pizza, then just get that because it's better pizza.
Yeah, just get that because it's better pizza. Better, listen, better pizza, better prices. That's what,
but look,
little, that's what Little Caesars says.
Better ingredients, better pizza, Little Caesars. Everybody knows that.
Have we had the conversation on this podcast about who needs to take over Papa John's?
I don't know, but I know the answer is Shaq.
Yeah, I was going to say the answer's definitely got to be Shaq, right?
Yeah, the answer is definitely 100% Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. Speaking of Shaquille O'Neal.
Really?
Yeah, how great was that?
That was great. What is Shaquille O'Neal doing?
The nightly news.
Ooh.
So this is a news article that I've I didn't find this one actually on the internet.
You wrote it yourself.
I did.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
So headline. So
is it published yet?
Yeah, of course it is.
Oh, I was hoping we'd be like the first ones to cover it.
No. Oh no, trust me, everyone's covering this.
Okay.
This is an article written by an excellent journalist, I think we can all agree, titled "Shaquille O'Neal Owned Chicken Restaurant Coming to Knoxville."
No.
Yeah, I know. How crazy is this? And there's a few things I want to point out about this press release that I received. I'll just go through the article as I do for Nightly News. Mm-hmm. Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal is bringing his chicken sandwich restaurant, Big Chicken, to several cities, including Knoxville. Yeah.
It's not called Shaquille O'Neal's.
I was about to say, I wish it had been called Shaquille O'Neal's.
Yeah.
Because that seems like the obvious answer, right?
Or Shaquille O'Meals, yeah.
Oh, Shaquille O'Meals would also be good. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, Big Chicken is also a very powerful name. Like, we can agree.
Big Chicken. Is it just called Big Chicken?
Big Chicken. It's called Big Chicken.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
The locations are going to be opened up in several cities here in Tennessee, including Nashville and Chattanooga and Knoxville, which I would just like to say thank you, Shaquille, for bringing Big Chicken to Knoxville, because several other restaurateurs have brought things to Tennessee and they tend to skip the best city in Tennessee, which is Knoxville.
Yep.
Going through this press release that I received into my email, I was given an incredible piece of information, and I translated that information into the article as such, and I just need you to react to these two sentences.
Okay.
The restaurant will offer chicken sandwiches, tenders, milkshakes, and even Cheez-It crusted mac and cheese. Representatives with the business said the items offer an inside look into the life and personality of the 15-time NBA All-Star. If someone could boil my personality and life down to Cheez-It crusted mac and cheese, I think I'd kill myself.
I think if anyone's life could be summarized as Cheez-It crusted mac and cheese, it's yours.
Now, if we're talking White Cheddar Groove Cheez-It mac and cheese, that's very possible.
Yeah, I mean, I've played with the idea of oven baking some Bob Evans mac and cheese and crumbling some Cheez-Its on top. I mean, just like everyone.
Yeah,
has.
Just like every cold-blooded, warm-blooded American.
Cold-blooded, warm-blooded American.
Yeah, just like every cold-blooded lizard American.
Just like every Cold War warm-blooded American. But Shaquille O'Neal, the Big Chicken himself, has taken a dart upon himself.
Yeah, if you'd asked me before I got this press release, hey, what does if you had to pick a meal to represent Shaquille O'Neal, I'd definitely go with a big old Papa John's pie, wouldn't you?
I mean, he's basically the new Papa John.
He's essentially the new Papa John. We all know that Papa John's pizza is a sports staple. Peyton Manning loves it.
Yeah.
If every time you order a Papa John's pizza, my forehead gets a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Peyton loves to say that. He says it all the time.
Yeah, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time with this.
So the real question is, what are you going to get? Like, what's your big chicken order? You going to get the sandwich or the tenders? You got sliders, chicken strips. One of the sandwiches is called Shack Attack. That looks pretty good. You could also pull out the Uncle Jeremy or perhaps the Shack Daddy.
I did a quick Google. I think I'm going to get the Charles Barkley.
There's a Charles Barkley. Okay, well, now I haven't even looked at the menu.
I just Googled Shaquille O'Neal Chicken Restaurant. And your article, sadly, was not the first one to come up.
No, that you must have your ad blocker turned on or something.
Because yours is an ad?
Oh, my God. I looked up Big Chicken Menu, and the first article that came up is from our direct competitor.
Oh, yeah, did you hear that? I'm on clutchpoints.com right now.
Okay, I'm looking at a PDF of the Big Chicken Menu.
You found the actual Big Chicken Menu?
Yeah, I'm looking at the menu. I told you I'm a hacker.
Oh,
crispy chicken sandwiches, choose dark or white meat. That is an excellent, excellent idea, because plenty of times I get a white meat Chicky Sammy and I'm like, no, there's no flavor in this, Shaquille O'Neal.
I found it also.
I'm looking to see what I'm going to get. Oh, they got breakfast.
Did you click to get a... there's a little link at the top that says accessible menu. Yeah. And it's just the same menu. It's just different font. Yeah. It's in a different font.
And it's not like the original font is hard to parse. It's just like a sans serif font. And in fact, I legitimately think it's Helvetica.
The four sandwiches are... The Shack Attack, the Shack Daddy, the most dominant ever, and the Big Aristotle. The philosopher himself has signed off on the Big Chicken.
Hey, Shack, yeah, no, we've got the four sandwiches. We were thinking we'll name like one or two after you. One of them.
And the other one's just like chicken sandwich.
Yeah, one of them we'll give like a fun name, maybe like an acronym. I don't know. You can figure it out. But we got this one. It's got fried onions and barbecue sauce on it. What were you thinking? And Shaq was like, oh, man, when I think about fried onions and barbecue sauce, I think back to the classics. Oh, maybe because it's a classic barbecue chicken sandwich.
Just like the classic person.
Aristotle.
Aristotle.
Classic philosopher. Classic big thinker. Classic invented knowledge. Aristotle.
I have two things about this menu. First of all, when you click grab an accessible menu, it does add the Carnival Cruise Line logo at the bottom of the menu.
What? Why?
I mean, look at it. The Carnival Cruise Line logo is at the bottom. It's not on the bottom of the regular one. So I guess accessible, I guess by sea is what they mean.
Yeah, accessible on the open seas, yeah.
And the second thing is on the original menu, not the accessible menu, the unaccessible menu. Yeah. There is a logo that identifies when a food is spicy, and it's a little fire emblem. And it says fire emblem equals spicy, and there's only one.
there's one item on this menu that's spicy.
And they couldn't call it, like, the Spicy Shack. They just decided to call it the Shack so I could put the logo next to it.
I would also like to point you, move your gaze down to the bottom of the menu where they do offer an omelet.
Yeah, a three-cheese omelet. And it's just three cheeses and, I assume, an egg.
Yeah, just three. It's just scrambled eggs. Like, it's just scrambled eggs with cheese, right?
All day is not... Okay, here's... All day is not... 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. is not all day.
Yeah, that's not
just part of the day.
That's objectively not all day. Also, their options are chicken biscuit, three cheese omelet, and also biscuit and egg. Which is like a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. How are you gonna go to Big Chicken and be like, oh yeah, could I please get the sausage biscuit, please? No chicken. Trying to make sure that no one's touched chicken in the last 15 minutes before they make my sausage biscuit. Thank you very much.
And you're telling me the same person named biscuit and egg as named the Big Aristotle?
I just assume that Shaq got to name the sandwiches. And then, you know.
And PR got to name the all-day breakfast.
I am so curious about what Shaq sauce is.
Is there a Shaq sauce?
Yeah, what I'm assuming is they just wait for Shaq to play one of his big old basketball games, and then they wring out his shorts onto a chicken sandwich.
It's only on one thing.
Yeah, it's on one thing. It's the most dominant ever.
The MDE, as they call it.
Yeah, they call it the MDE. That's what they call
this,
it.
This restaurant drips Big Mo's energy of, I will feel fairly embarrassed when I order anything off the menu.
Yeah, you can't. You go up to the counter and you're like, hey, yeah, can I get the spicy chicken sandwich? And they're like, you gotta say it. And you're like,
can I have Shaq Daddy?
Can I please have the Shaq Daddy? Also, I don't trust any basketball player owned chicken restaurant that offers both Carolina barbecue sauce and Memphis barbecue sauce. You can only offer one kind of barbecue sauce, otherwise your barbecue sauce just sucks.
And you know that Shaq is waiting behind the counter for someone to say they'd like a Shaq attack?
Mm-hmm.
At which point he will jump out and chop them in half with his big strong basketball hands?
Yeah, jump out and karate chop your neck, I assume is what he's gonna do.
Yeah, I'll never say that I'd like a Shaq attack.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we go, because obviously we're going to go, I think I'm going to have to pick up the MDE for the first one. I mean, it's just the Shaq sauce and pickles, you know?
I don't know, I might have to get all of them.
Oh, maybe I'll get two and you get two, and we'll have like a quarter of each.
Yeah, probably that's how it'll end up,
because we'll never go just to go. We'll go for our stupid podcast that makes us do bad things.
We'll go once, order all of the sandwiches, spend $400, and then write it off as a business expense.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. The sides, we got potato salad. Okay. Sweet and spicy pickles. I don't think pickles are a side, but okay.
I mean, they're a food, I guess.
And you have jalapeno slaw, which I assume is like coleslaw with jalapenos in it. You're telling me this place doesn't offer like fries?
Wait a minute. It's supposed to offer mac and cheese.
Hey, it's supposed to offer mac and cheese. Ugh. Oh, I'm looking up pictures right now.
You found them?
I'm looking
you
got up what pictures.
You found what Hold you need? On. You got what We're you need? Up. Okay.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah? What's the word?
These are some wild pictures. They put mac and cheese on some of these things, but, oh, man, they look really good, I gotta say.
Also been stuck in your room in this apartment all day.
Yeah, I know. I'm starving. Oh, I got
These do look delicious. Ooh. I'm not going to lie. These look really good.
There's an extended menu.
Oh, that's probably it.
Yeah, that's it. That one's also got the Uncle Jeremy and the Charles Barkley. and the Superman.
I'm no Superman. Oh, I found the extended menu with the kids' meals and stuff.
Oh, my God. Dirty fries with cheese, bacon, banana peppers, and barbecue ranch. Oh, I would sell you out to any terrorist organization on the planet for some dirty fries from Big Chicken right now.
Who would have thought in the crossfire, in the battle, in the war of chicken sandwiches, out would come Shaquille O'Neal like,
hey, guys, don't worry about it. I'll take this one. Don't you even fret. I got this one. Don't even worry about it.
It's like the U.S. in World War II. Like, no, everyone was like, ooh, I sure hope Shaq doesn't get involved. And then right at the end, boom, boom, he's going to come in and he's going to take us by storm.
I hope he doesn't do the food equivalent of a bomb on Japan. I guess he is doing that. It's just on Tennessee.
Oh, man. He's picked three cities, and it's Nashville, Chattanooga, and Tennessee. And I got to say, the interior of these restaurants looks real nice. It's got lots of exposed ceiling, you know, like the ducts and stuff.
No, it has to. It's Shaquille O'Neal's.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I was kind of hoping it would just be a basketball court with chicken on it.
With an oven in the middle.
Oh, hold on. I found pictures that aren't promotional pictures.
Oh.
Oh, it just kind of looks like... It just kind of looks like a sad chicken sandwich.
That makes sense.
I'd still eat it.
Still kill a man to eat that chicken sandwich right now? Yeah, so would I.
Yeah, easily.
But this isn't just a show about Shaquille O'Neal.
You're right, it's not. Oh, by the way, I'd like to give you a real-time follow-up. I have splash-topped into my work computer to give you a real-time view into the Shaquille O'Neal newsiverse, and I can confirm one person is looking at this article, and it's definitely myself.
Well, it's 9:30 on like a weekday.
Yeah, I know. People are too busy doing stuff rather than read about Big Chicken.
I mean, I'm reading about it, but it's not on your article. But this isn't just a show about Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. You're
this
so
is
right.
A show about a cookie, and you don't even know a cookie we have.
I don't. I really don't. You left a sleeve, a very small sleeve of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cookies outside my door.
You want to open up your little FaceTime window that I have that we turned off at the beginning, but you can turn it back on and I can show you what we have?
Yeah. Oh, I see. We've got Tate's Bake Shop, Southampton, New York, pumpkin spice cookies. Ooh, that is the fall special.
Yeah, it's the fall special. There's a little bake shop in every bite.
Oh, there is a little bit. Whoa. With like people
Happy fall,
in it?
Y'all.
With like elves in it?
This is a pumpkin spice cookie with white chocolate chips, which is pretty cool.
That sounds delicious, and everyone loves a Tate's cookie.
You have half of the cookies, and I have half of
You're
the cookies.
You're telling me this whole thing comes with 14 cookies? How much did it cost?
It was at Aldi's in the fun aisle. So it was it was like $3 or something like that.
That's acceptable. I bet it's usually like $6.99.
But they are limited edition.
Ooh, limited edition. Oh, we should have bought two so we could keep one in the packaging. Sell it later.
I did buy two fall-themed cookies, and I figured we'd do one in 2 weeks and one this week.
Yeah.
But
September,
I had to
the fall month.
I had to choose between the good cookie and the bad cookie, and I thought, well, the good cookie's going to be best now, and the bad cookie's going to be worse then, so it'll be perfect to do the good cookie now.
You had to spare me because I've got COVID. I wonder if I'll be able to taste it. I assume I will be.
I don't know. I don't know if you've been tasting recently.
You can discuss this weird packaging while I jump into this cook.
All right, well, the Tate's cookie is the classic, like, it's like a lunch, like a brown lunch bag that you roll the top of over itself, and but it says Tate's on it, and then there's a little container, and within that little container there are the packaging isn't terrible because there's two separate packages of seven. So you open this at lunch, you share with all your friends, then you do the same thing the next day, and that they're just as fresh as they were the day before. And it's perfect when your roommate has COVID and you're recording a podcast in separate rooms.
Or you just bomb through seven cookies at once.
Which is more than likely what you're going to do.
I am hungry.
They're shaped like, I mean, cookies. If they're shaped like traditional cookies, there's no way to describe them other than they're cookie shaped.
Yeah, they're round. Round, I
they're
think
round.
Is a good way to describe them.
Not even, just circular. They're not like spherical. They're just circular. They look like if you got a chocolate chip cookie and dunked it in like tan color. Like the whole thing is like orange. Not orange, but the color that orange flavored things are.
I've got thoughts about this cookie.
Well, I'm eating it, so go ahead.
Yeah, me too.
Good audio.
Okay. Here are my thoughts about this cookie. It's basically just a snickerdoodle with white chocolate chips in it.
Oh, yeah.
And when I get a bite with white chocolate, I'm like, this is yummy. But when I get a bite without white chocolate, I'm like, this tastes like cinnamon and nothing else.
It is just like, The Christmassy cookies. I don't know what they're called. They're snickerdoodles, basically.
Yeah, they taste like just snickerdoodles.
It is just like crunchy cinnamon with the occasional white chocolate chip.
But I think the sweetness of the white chocolate really just nails it home.
That's fine.
I gotta say, this will be an odd review for me because when I do get a bite with the white chocolate, I really like these. But when I get a bite without, I really don't. And
my
so I got a,
two,
I got a.
My first cookie had 3 chips. My second cookie had 2 chips in it. So it was rough.
Oh, that is rough.
But
I think I'm averaging about 3 or 4.
That's pretty good. I had 2 of these, and I burned my mouth pretty good the other day. So I'm not having more of these. Does COVID give you like the burned mouth feeling?
No, it gives me the stuffy nose.
Oh, okay. I've had like the burned mouth feeling for like 2 days, and I must have just had like a hot soup or something, because the upper roof of my mouth has felt like on fire for 2 days, so it hurts to eat these because they're so crispity crunchity.
Maybe it was that pizza.
Maybe it was the soup I had last night. It might have been that. But these are, the only way I would describe the texture of these is this is what you want hash browns to be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They are crispy crunchy. These are not chewy at all, which I actually do like, because everyone knows chewy soft packaged cookies are terrible.
The side of this box says they're signature thin crispy cookies combining the best of ingredients and a passion for baking.
I would say maybe not the best, but not bad.
Not the best ingredient. Like, if this is the best ingredients, maybe get your ratios a little better.
Yeah, we're in trouble if this is the best.
Yeah, it's not. Pizza's the best. We've already been over this.
Mm-hmm. I've got a number.
I've got to factor out my burned mouth.
Yeah.
I've got a number.
I'm going to say 6.5.
I was going to say 6, so pretty... even, pretty consistent. They're a little better than average. They're sweet. They're nice. They're nothing to rave about. I'm glad I got them for $3 and not $6.
But they're limited edition. Get out there while supplies last.
I know. In this Halloween season, you got to get yourself some Tate's Bake Shop cookies from the fun aisle at Aldi's.
Yum, yum, yum. Go get them.
You know what they say? That's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes on occasion or whatever.
Classic Tough Cookies saying. Goodbye, everyone.
Adios, and don't die, Cameron, of the horrid coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus will never have me.
If next week's episode is an in memoriam, the audience will be able to guess how you turned out.
I had a big chicken.
That's a good right there. That's a good ending.